All right. Welcome to another thrilling episode of Truth and Reconciliation. It's the Pellwood Fantasy Football League podcast. He's Peter Elwood. I'm Seth Martin. It is great to have you with us. Peter, how are you, sir?
I'm rested coming off the bye, but I'm also a little restless coming off the bye. Yeah. I'm ready to get back out on the fantasy gridiron.
Have you been sitting on that since last week? Just curious. That little play on words there.
I knew you were going to ask the question, and I was ready for an answer.
Well, I appreciate that nonetheless. I got to say, my enthusiasm for the intro, notwithstanding my excitement for you, good friend, is probably not a good representation of how I'm actually feeling about the league right now. This is all forced.
You put on quite the charade in the intro. I couldn't tell it all. How are you doing?
You know, man, shut up, man. I'm okay. I'm disappointed. I going into that game against Jared, I was nervous about it from the get-go. He and I were texting about it all weekend, and I was concerned that things just didn't feel right, didn't look right. I had some start-sit convolutions that I was just psyching myself out. And then the Titanic got freaking crashed by the Hindenburg, and they went down together. And it was the perfect storm of suck. And lo and behold, I posted what I believe is one of the worst scores I've ever posted in the history of fantasy football, let alone the season. So heck of a way to go out. Ultimately, I'm glad to be an incumbent. I had a good run. And I still look at my team, even this week, I'm going, man, this is a good team. So I've got good feelings towards my team, but just had a stinker lay an egg there at the end of the season. That's how I'm feeling.
Yeah, the good news, bad news for you is that there was nothing you could do about it. Your team was always going to lose that game.
That's right. There was no impending decision that I made or didn't make that made the difference in the game. Jared just handed my butt to me outright. And speaking of Jared, as I said, this is a very special episode of Truth and Reconciliation. Tonight we are going around the corner. We are joined by the final four, the remaining cutthroats who are marching into round two of the playoffs. To my right, Jared the Snake. To my left, Brock the usually inebriated, but here present and looking bored, actually, which probably correlated. And, of course, the brand new Wookiee of the Year, Chris Clark, is here joining us. Gentlemen, how are all of us tonight?
Doing great.
Pretty much covered it.
That's right.
Well, tell you what, Jared, how are you feeling after the pounding you gave me this weekend?
Well, I didn't think it was going to be a pounding. I really thought it was going to be a pounding going the other way. That Kamara injury just tanked you. It just tanked you.
Yeah, and that was an early, early situation on a Thursday game nonetheless, and in the first couple of minutes of the Thursday game. So what were your thoughts a couple minutes in? Did that give you new life, hope? Did that give you false hope? What were you feeling when Kamara went down?
Oh, yeah, hope for sure, when I didn't really think I had any.
Sinister jerk.
You know, what? Yeah. We had talked earlier in the week, and I'd said, I think Kamara's going for 30, and yeah, it sure looked like he was going to.
No, he was on track for it. In less than 90 seconds, he was on track for a 30-point game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I think you were on the same page that I was. I really anticipated him coming back in the second quarter. I really thought that protocol, he's fine, we got to get him back out there. Thought they might have even bent the rule because, you know, you've got New Orleans saying, hey, you got to understand, he is our team. We win because of him. We lose when we don't have him. You'd think that they'd be pushing that, but nope. He did not come back, and New Orleans received kind of the similar treatment that I received in liking Kamara. I was really hadn't made that comparison yet, but there it is. My quarterback suffered. Everything went down. I was the Saints this weekend. Huh.
The two aren't related. You know, your quarterback and Kamara. Not the same.
I didn't say they were. I just was saying, as a manager, I imagine we felt the same.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and Brock, how are you doing, sir? You've scrambled back. You've got the Cinderella narrative going on here, claiming that you drafted this way for the playoffs and knew it all along that this was going to be the circumstances. I call BS. However, why don't you go ahead and speak your piece and talk about how this was all part of your master plan?
You can call BS all you want. At the draft, I said I am drafting the strongest or the weakest strength of schedule at my positions for the playoffs, and I'm either going to win the toilet bowl or win the league, and I called it at the draft. So you can say, you can call BS all you want.
Well, I'm not calling BS on the fact that you planned it. I'm calling BS on the fact that it worked. I think that's really how
haters,
I feel.
Haters,
Peter's you know nodding. No,
Peter can nod all he wants. I came in here expecting Foley to pander and take a card from his book. We've talked about this all week long. It's been a rough year. At the end of last year, my team tanked much like yours did in the playoffs. Came out, put up like a 70.
You could have just stopped with tanked, but go on.
Yep. After dominating the regular season, I've crashed and burned like 10-1 to 5 straight losses of under 100 points. It was great. It was spectacular how epic it was. But I also had a lot going on in my personal life. So I've been gone the last few months with the Army. I haven't really paid a whole lot of attention. This weekend's matchup is the most excited I've been about a matchup in several years, to be honest with you. And that smirk that I'm looking at right now, oh gosh. Oh, several things would happen if I beat Peter this weekend. Number one is he's going to have to admit that I was right, which is something he's incapable of doing ever.
Well, hang on. I think Peter just proved in the pre-show warm-up that a few months after the fact that he might come around in the form of making a joke about, you know, your opponent's viewpoint.
He was capable of admitting that you were right. He is incapable of admitting that I am right. And this is something that dates back 20 years. Yeah. 20 years, Pete.
All right. Well, there's a tension here that I'm going to press into throughout the show. Looking forward to
press
it.
Press away.
So can anybody attest to the statement that Brock said he made at the draft? I know I can't personally, but I see evidence that he did plan that just looking at his matchups going into the playoffs. Pete or Jared or Chewy, do you guys remember such a statement from Brock?
I do. I remember it very clearly. He misused the word narrative many times during the draft for saying that's what he was doing with his draft, was preparing a playoff-ready team with the best possible matchups for his players. Okay. That was his plan. Yes, that was his plan. It was not a narrative. It was his plan, his strategy.
The narrative of the season.
Not his narrative. His narrative. Plan and strategy at the draft was to try to have the best matchups he could at come playoff time.
Well,
I went overkill. Okay, I got smoked in the playoffs, and because my team played the best defenses in the league. All of my players had bad matchups. I said this will never happen again, and that's why I drafted that way. And it is when they do the 30 for 30 on my championship, the commentator will say the narrative of the season was play for the playoffs.
Well, I can't argue with that, and because, again, the proof is in the pudding, at least from round one. Now, a single outlier, a trend does not make, but based on the pure matchups, I'm prone to agree. However, what we really should be talking about is the fact that you made it into the playoffs to begin with, because you were down to the wire, sir, to get into the sixth spot, and you think you'd want to start there next year. Maybe there's a balance instead of just drafting for the final 3 weeks of the NFL season. Maybe try to think about the 4 and 5 hole and go in with a little bit stronger of a ranked position. How are you feeling going into last week's matchup?
You know, I had some good matchups, and I felt I thought it was going to be closer. I had 4 players put up their best performance of the year. That's kind of nice. Like it
helps.
Doesn't hurt. Yeah, it helps to have 4 people score over 25 points and have season highs. And they all have good matchups this week. The only question mark is whether or not Abdullah will play. The Lions shouldn't even play him anyway. That's neither here nor there. I felt maybe 55-45 me going into it, and I came out well ahead. And now I feel really good going towards Peter. Really good.
Yeah. Well, Brock, I tip my hat to you. You actually look really good going towards Pete. And even though, I mean, maybe this was just a disadvantage of our long distance draft, as Chewy and I had to camp out in Houston, and we didn't really have the online video conferencing working really well, and so it was almost a tale of two cities while we were drafting. So I missed out on your claim. Would have loved to have prodded you a little bit on that, but it sounds like it was legit. And congratulations to you, Brock, for clamoring into that final 6 spot of the playoffs and letting your narrative make its mark. Now, I will say, Pete, if he's right, And at this point, we can't argue that he's wrong. He's not right yet, but we're certainly, there's no evidence that says he was wrong. We will be talking about the narrative for years to come. How are you feeling about that?
That would be a disservice to history to say that that narrative holds up as true. That was the plan. That was the strategy. That's not what's happened with Brock's team. Like, let's look at his team. Okay, Michael Thomas was his no-brainer keeper. Jarvis Landry, good, solid pick. Always a PPR monster. Does lots of catches, right? He doesn't have a great schedule in the playoffs. Then the rest of his team is Alfred Morris, who was added off the waiver wire. Alex Collins, who was added off the waiver wire. Theo Riddick, who he did draft, but was not good at all season long until Abdullah got hurt 2 weeks ago and then started getting the starters reps. Mm-hmm. And Drew Brees, who doesn't have an outstanding playoff matchup when you consider the fact that the Saints are running the ball all season long and not throwing the ball. He's not the same Drew Brees anymore. So tell me where the narrative holds water that his team is good because of the matchups. His team is good. I failed to mention Devin Funchess, who was also added off the waiver wire, who was also not good until Tevin Benjamin was traded away at like week 8 or something like that. So unless there is a crystal ball that I am not aware of, there was no draft day strategy that has held water to this point in the season. It's false.
Man.
So, it was a magic 8-ball?
Would you summarize those circumstances as happenstance, NFL, par for the course, injury, and luck?
It's normal fantasy football team management. It is not anything special or extraordinary.
Brock, does that just thumbscrew you just a little bit? Or are you just like, ah?
You know, Peter and I had a conversation. I feel like it'll really shed some light on his point of view on things, where I can pull up the text and blast it out to everyone, where he said that Alfred Morris is just as good as Zeke. So his opinion is flawed.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll come back to the narrative. Speaking of narrative, though, there is another narrative in our league that has been a steady juggernaut through the entire season, and his name is Chewy. Many weeks ago, Chewy was introduced to the league not as a league manager, but as a fan. He watched from afar. He enjoyed the pod. He commented on it. He water cooler convoed with me regarding our the affinity we have for such a league as the Pellwood Fantasy Football League. And he made the most compelling argument for his membership that any aspiring league member has ever made, with the documentation, the application, the resume. I mean, just full tilt to be a part of this community. And of course, with the absence or the absentee spot, we were happy to extend an opportunity to Chewy, knowing that as his first time in what we consider to be an extremely competitive league, on top of being his first experience inside a league that's completely based on the auction draft, that both of these firsts would likely mean that we would have a nice 12-hole to kind of fodder in our approach towards the playoffs of the season. Gentlemen, would anybody disagree that you were also guilty of making such an assumption? I'm confessing.
Yeah, I'm the same. Usually a new guy coming into the league, it does take a year or two to get into the swing of things.
So we were wrong, and Chewy sandbagged us, and formidable foe has proven to be the indeed rookie of the year. Just a strong and steady. Ladies and gentlemen, let's hear from him right now. It is Chris Chewy Clark. Chewy, way to go, man.
For the record, I'm as surprised as anybody else. this was not how I foresaw this season going. I was just happy to make the playoffs and feel like I had a reason to be in the league. And honestly, I looking at my weekly scores and matchups, I don't understand how I'm the number one team in the playoffs. And I know Brock will rail at me for being ranked number one, 8 weeks in a row? But I'm really not feeling like a number one team.
That's interesting because at draft at my house, I remember you saying, you know, I drafted to be number one through the entire season and into the playoffs. It was just a narrative I remember that you brought up. Does that sound familiar, guys? I'm not sure if you recall
that. I wasn't there.
Again, no, the technology, yeah. Probably. Chris, you are a force to be reckoned with. You've got a great team. You make great decisions. You've made some good trades that have played off in your the benefit of the league. And honestly, Chris, I don't know. I can't think of a better experience with a newbie possible. Like I don't think we would actually have liked the fodder 12-man hole. I love that you came in swinging and that here you are going into the round two of the playoffs coming off of a bye and having secured the number one seed right off the bat. That is pretty cool. And underdog you were not, as much as you even were willing to play the underdog from a humility standpoint, because that's who you are, but just a humble, kind guy that enjoys community, enjoys football. But instead, you've done great, man. It's been a lot of fun. Glad you are in our league. Brock, you have a thought?
Asterisk, number one seed, due to somebody requesting to play in my bracket by benching Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. But carry on.
All right.
I hope you get yours.
No, there is no question that Chewy is the number one overall seed. He earned it. He deserves it. It's him. We're all gunning for him.
I didn't do anything. There he is, ladies and gentlemen.
Now, Jared, no offense to you, Chewy. No offense to you. I'm not taking anything away from what you did, including beat me this season.
Oh, yeah. Can we be on the same page and just say that I feel no rivalry towards you, Brock. I think we can be united in our
absolutely
genuine disdain for our commissioner, Pete. I'm on team anti Pete with you, and that's all that matters.
That's the team that I've been on for 20 years. How are we friends?
Most of Peter's nicknames have come from Brock, so it's good to see an alliance forming here. Now, Jared, we're going to come back to Pete's basically. Put him in the hot seat a little bit here and give the commissioner an opportunity to either lord from his tower or defend himself, whatever route he takes. My suspicion will be not the latter. Jared, you have a different narrative this season. You've almost been, as opposed to Chewy's role in the league, you've been like a silent killer, just kind of treading through the water as each week. Your matchups have seemed to go in your favor. How do you feel about your regular season?
Oh, it was tough. It was tough. You can say silent killer. I was silently killed plenty of times too. I was looking back. I think I have a couple of, you know, fairly close losses. And yeah, it was a tough season. It was in doubt and got to where I had to win out at the end to make the playoffs. And it was a nail biter because Andy and I, shout out to Andy. I mean, we were right there the whole time, number one and two in points four for a long time, and I was worried about it.
Well, you went into the playoffs with staying on top of me. You scored about what I thought both of us would score in round one, but you secured a great league position moving in. We ended up not mattering which rank you and I would have in seed, whether it be five or six. We were just both kind of sliding in, but knowing that round one was going to be probably one of your tougher matchups. You whooped up on Scott on your final week to win out. The final couple of weeks, the week before that, you played Brock and beat him pretty handedly with a large score as well. So in terms of a strong finish, you, sir, definitely carried it and has, unlike me, which had a very strong finish with the exception of getting beat by Chris week 13, you carried your strong finish into the playoffs.
Yeah, Ingram playing in the Thursday night game where Kamara got hurt early was a huge, huge deal in our matchup.
Yeah,
helped me carry that on.
Sure. Well, all that to say, this bracket is more interesting than I thought it would be. And truthfully, it is not how I predicted it would be. Going back and listening to last week's episode, talking to Pete about who's doing what, I was really hoping to come out on top, obviously, but I was nervous about it. And Brock was showing signs of potential, but didn't know how Dak was going to do. It really was anybody's game. And so Pete, having secured the second seed through what at best we would call questionable methods of strategy, at worst, Chewy might describe them as
tantamount to collusion.
Douchebaggery.
There you go.
The technical term, yes.
But is now in what is perceivably not as favorable of a matchup. Now, Pete, would you agree or disagree that this is the spot you want to be in, or were hoping to be in, by submarining a little bit round one? If you had to choose a round two matchup between Brock, Chewy, and Jared, who would you pick?
Oh, man. I would absolutely choose to stomp all over Brock this week beyond playing anyone else. It's not even close. Brock mentioned we started trash talking, and that's true. We have about 2 weeks of trash talk already done in the last 36 hours, and I can't believe it's only Wednesday right now. Like, Sunday needs to hurry up and get here so that I can spank Brock into oblivion and trash his stupid narrative down his throat.
Tell me how you really feel, though. I'm curious. I'm not sure we're really picking up on the extent of which you want to beat him.
Yeah, it's the easier matchup. I don't care about his good matchups that he claims to have. It's the easier matchup of all the teams, and I'm happy to be where I am. The plan is going well.
Wow. Well, Brock, what do you think?
I quote, "I want to look into your eyes as I plunge the dagger into your season."
Yes, I said that today.
Yep.
Yes.
He did. Oh, he did.
That's poetic.
I can't wait till it's Sunday already. I can't wait to demoralize you.
Yes, I said that as well. See. Brock said many other things that are not suitable for air.
Sure. No surprise there. But, Pete, if you lose, how are you going to react?
Yes, Peter.
If I lose, multiple of my players will have gotten hurt in the middle of the game and put up a lower score because of it.
Oh, wow. We're already making excuses. So you stand on the threat of your team being better.
I'm saying multiple players will have been carted off the field with an injury for me to have lost.
Okay, I read you now.
Never mind that Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown are both playing against a Belichick defense.
That's right.
Nope, never mind that. Don't care at all. Only way that they have scored a poor amount of points against the Belichick defense is because Le'Veon Bell got hurt. So Le'Veon Bell would have to get hurt, and LeSean McCoy would have to get hurt as well.
Yeah.
I have a far superior team that can only go down if someone gets hurt. The matchups that we have are equal. I have better players.
Brock, I've given a couple around the horn points to Pete on that one. What do you think?
Give them away. I want to beat you as a 30-point favorite.
I told you.
I want you to spend the rest of the year thinking about it.
I told you guys via text message, the panderer narrative can be done with now. That's regular season. That's me as commissioner balancing. I'm a commissioner. I'm a
team
owner.
That's not balancing.
That's done now. Team owner only. Now I have the best team left.
Now we're seeing Peter the Shark coming out and just...
That's fine.
Owning the league.
Mock the fantasy gods. See what happens.
They aren't real.
Ooh, you heard it right here, folks. Oh, whoa.
Oh.
All right. Oh. So, Brock, one question for you. What do you plan on doing about your tight end?
Yes.
All right, we'll come back to that. Jared, question for you. Same question I pitched to Pete a little bit ago. I'm going to go around the horn with it. Are you content with round two trajectory and matchup going into round three? Would there be a team you'd rather play this week? If so, who?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'd rather play Brock. Absolutely.
And why?
Because he doesn't even have a tight end. He doesn't even have a tight end. So, no, it's close. It's close. I definitely don't want to face Pete. Pete's right. He has the best team. Now, the best team only wins 60-65% of the time.
I'd agree with that. So Andy would agree with that. Well,
so would
maybe that's conservative.
So yeah, I mean it's I think Chewy and I will have a great matchup. I think it's going to be a lot of fun watching it. I'm a little worried about it. Yeah, I'm a little worried about it, but not terribly so. And we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Well, Chewy, same question.
I'm a little afraid of Brock's team, tight end notwithstanding. I'm a little nervous coming off the bye week, watching Brock put up a good score, watching Jared put up a pretty good score, and watching Pete having a great week. And I kind of had a pretty average week for me. I think this week my team will perform pretty much up to standards. I'll score somewhere between 125 and 140 points. And so I'm looking at it thinking Jared's got the opportunity to score 145, 150 points this week. Looking at his matchups, I think Brock could easily have a big week like that. And Pete's right. He's got the best team in the league. He's going to put up 150, 160 points this week. So I honestly don't like my team scoring kind of a decent, good, average, consistent score at a time where it looks like other teams are booming. So I don't like any potential matchup.
All
right. The hard part, Chewy, for you is that your two best players have tough matchups this week. You've got Todd Gurley at Seattle, and you've got DeAndre Hopkins at Jacksonville, which that can't give you the warm and fuzzy feelings that you would hope to have with your best players in good spots.
Sure, but Gurley's still going to get his touches, and Hopkins is going to get targets, so I'm not too worried about those. I think they'll still get 20-point performances out of both.
All right.
That's what I'm relying on, at least.
Fitz is going to go off.
Probably so. Hey, all right, Pete, on that thread, it's time to do a quick box rundown. We have two games this week. They are both significant matchups, and it's going to be hard to make a call on each of them. Instead of our typical back-and-forth rundown, though, since there's four of us on the line, and it is your four teams, well, since there are five of us on the line, but it is your four teams that are in the matchup, what we're going to do is I'm just going to facilitate a rundown call out, and we're going to kind of self-criticize here a little bit and go against other bracket matchups on our take. So, Pete, you're going to be up first so we can explain what this looks like. Take a look at Chewy and Jared's matchup, and I'd like you to do a rundown. You're going to take Chris's team, as you just were, give him the full overview. We're going to give Chewy a chance to respond, and then Brock, you're going to give a rundown of what you think about Jared's team. Jared will have a chance to respond. Everybody clear?
Got it.
Here we go.
All right, so Chewy has Matt Stafford penciled on a quarterback. I assume that's a choice over Alex Smith. Both are at home. Smith is against the tough Chargers defense, and Stafford is against the not terrible, but weaker Bears defense, so that decision makes sense. Stafford did have the issue last week with a bruised throwing hand. He seemed to play okay. He is also a better quarterback at home, which he is in this matchup, so I like Stafford here to have a good week. As Chewy said, Gurley will still give his touches. That's absolutely true. Going against Seattle, who has a weakened defense compared to what we typically see from Seattle. So that should be fine there. Though I think the ceiling for Gurley may be slightly limited this week, but we'll see. He's still the focal point of the offense, and it should be a high scoring game. Frank Gore at home against Denver. Curious, Chewy, if you have any other options you're considering instead of Gore. He had a good week last week in the snow in Buffalo. I'm interested to see the state of Denver's defense, how strong they are right now with Gore at home. Do you have any other route you're considering there, or are you set on Gore?
I'm feeling good about Gore. I'm thinking he's going to catch a couple passes and hawk a touchdown, and he'll be serviceable.
Okay. All right. So yeah, I think not going to be a big week, but should get you in the low double digit points at least anyway, which is I think all you're really counting on from him. Hopkins will definitely get lots of targets. It will be coming from T.J. Yates, I think, at quarterback, who is a third string quarterback for Houston coming into the season. They're going against the best defense in the league. So that will be interesting to see. He'll have 15 balls thrown his way. I'm curious to see how many of those he catches and for what yardage. And then Larry Fitzgerald in a kind of bounce back spot after a down week last week in what should have been a good matchup at home against Tennessee. Now it goes on the road at Washington, who has been weaker as of late. Jameson Crowder on the other side of the ball, going against Arizona. Arizona has one good cornerback, and they're susceptible everywhere else, so Crowder should be good. Jack Doyle might be my favorite play here at home against Denver's defense, who tends to funnel passes to the tight end. And then Mike Davis, the Seahawks running back, who's this is a really great pickup for you. I saw you nailed the waiver wire with this one today at home against a Rams defense that tends to stop the pass better than the run. So I think Mike Davis is a great add. Ravens defense against Cleveland, any defense against Cleveland is good. And then the Eagles kicker against the Giants should get plenty of opportunity there as well. So, I think except for maybe Hopkins and to a lesser extent Gurley, fairly good matchups across the board here. It'll be interesting to see if any of these players can spike for a really big week to take you up to that upper echelon of points scored that you're wanting to get to, you know, the 150 range. Have a really solid week, but I don't dislike the team.
All right, good take, Pete. Chewy, care to respond?
Yeah, I think my team looks like this week, much as it has all season, pretty high floor, and some players have a chance to get me up into a higher scoring range. I don't think I have any interesting start sit decisions to make. It looks like at this point, I got what I got, and I've got to hope that Gurley punches in a multiple touchdown game, or Hopkins scores a couple touchdowns, or someone like Crowder just gets a ton of catches.
All right.
Yeah, you're the only team in the league this year that did not score below 100 points in any week. So you're right, definitely a high floor team. And you did have some spike weeks. You topped out at 178. You also scored 164 and 155. So you did have some ceiling weeks as well. It wasn't just scoring 130 every time.
Yep. Yeah, this will be an interesting one to call. Brock, give us a rundown on Jared.
So Jared's going bold with Aaron Rodgers and Jordy Nelson. It's hard not to play him, especially when you've got Philip Rivers, who destroyed me. Thanks, by the way. Well played against the Cowboys, no less. But they're both great ball players. But is the chemistry going to be there with Rodgers being gone and Jordy Nelson not doing anything for the past how many weeks? So that's good. New Orleans runs the ball. They have a chance to have two running backs with over 1,500 yards from scrimmage, which that'll be the first time in NFL history that's ever happened. So Ingram's a no-brainer. Going heavy on Green Bay. It all depends on how Rodgers does coming off injury. AJ Green's a no-brainer. I can't even say that guy's name. Thielen?
Yep, exactly.
That's right.
Yeah, he's been solid all year long. Delanie Walker's top tight end. And then it's really hard to play someone from New England because they come up with their game plan of who's going to get the touches. You know, it's hit or miss with New England running backs. So that could be great or that could suck for you.
Yeah. They have a very adaptive game plan.
Yep. Yep.
Jared, looking at your lineup, I am concerned more about your matchups than I am your players, and as opposed to Chewy, that I'm looking at a couple of his players and wondering how they're going to do. So what are your thoughts on your matchups? You do look like you're rolling the dice on Green Bay. You're also giving me the finger by having A-Rodge in there after letting him ride. You were like the only guy in the league that had an open IR spot, so you literally had to pick him up. And nobody thought, especially me, that he'd be back, especially in the regular season, let alone in the playoffs. And he's untested other than practice. So what are you thinking about that? Care to reply?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The Aaron Rodgers thing is a huge question mark this week. The Green Bay has won overtime games the last 2 weeks in a row. And if they hadn't, then they wouldn't be in playoff contention, and there's no way he would be coming back. So it's kind of extremely fortunate for me that he's back at all. And for whatever reason, Hundley has hated Jordy Nelson. They just have no chemistry. Hundley loves Davante Adams. And now we've got Rodgers back, and Nelson should be good. He's in the lineup no matter what. Emmanuel Sanders has been awful lately, and Jordy is a stud, so he should be back with Rodgers. I am a little worried about how reliant I am on Green Bay with Jamal Williams and Jordy and Aaron Rodgers, and it's definitely something to worry about. There's definitely a chance that Rodgers gets hit and plays two series and is out, and I take a two at the position. On the flip side, Phillip Rivers, believe it or not, Phillip Rivers has not scored more than 17 points against the Chiefs since 2013, and his average is 10 against them, and he's been below double digits 4 out of the last 7 games against the Chiefs. So Phillip Rivers just is not a great play this week, I don't think.
So you're
not on the road.
Not on the road either, I agree. So you're thinking bang or bust for A-Rodge. You know, you got the Panthers defense. You could hedge your bets a little bit with a little insurance either way. If they flop, you could make up some points on the Panthers end.
No way. That lowers the ceiling terribly. If Aaron Rodgers didn't start, I'd play the Panthers.
Fair enough. All right, so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask you guys to make the call which way it's going to go, but one step further, I'd like to know by how many points that victory is going to be. Give you a second to think about it. We'll go around the horn.
I will take Chewy by
hang on.
Eight.
Let me bring it back thread it all together. All right, we're going to go around the horn. Peter, what you got?
I will take Chewy by 8 points.
All right, Chewy by 8 says Pete. Chewy, what are you thinking?
I'm taking myself by 3.
Oh, a tight race on the Chewy side. Jared?
I'm going to take myself by 15.
All right, good stance. Ooh. There. And Brock disagrees. Brock, what do you say?
Oh, that's confident. No, I think it's going to be close, and I think both teams have the potential to come in under projections. I think it's going to be a low-scoring affair. But I think I'll go Jared by 3.
Jared by 3. All right, we shall see. I'm gonna play the neutral. No, I'm not. I'm gonna make a call. I think that. I think that it is also going to be close, but I think it's gonna be a high scoring affair. I think that A-Rodge's untestedness is the riskiest factor in this game because of your dependency. And on Green Bay. So I'm going to go Chris Clark, high scoring game, but Chris Clark by 14. You heard it here. We're going to hop over to the other side of the bracket where Pete's number 2 spot is facing number 6, Brock by design. And I, from what I understand, Pete's feeling pretty smug about that. So what we're going to do here is we're going to start with Jared. Jared, give us the rundown of what Brock's currently sitting, and then we're going to come back to Chewy and hear about Pete's lineup, and then we'll do the same round the corner horn. Sound good? Or the same round the horn projection. Sound good?
Absolutely.
Take it away.
Brock actually has a lot of great matchups this week. Drew Brees is in an excellent matchup against the Jets, who have not been doing nearly as well lately. Oakland is not good. I'm a little worried about Alex Collins. Cleveland's been one of the best teams against the run this year, but I think Collins should be okay. Michael Thomas, I'm a little worried about Michael Thomas only from a ceiling perspective, and Brock is going to need a ceiling week this week, I think, to beat Pete. Jarvis Landry should be great. Green Bay's defense is terrible. You got to fill in that tight end, but I'm sure unless everybody's out there rushing to pick up the tight ends to keep you from picking up a tight end, then you'll be fine. Theo Riddick's been great. The Lions' defense has been good, and San Francisco has trouble getting to the end zone sometimes. So this could be a ceiling spot where where you are. And if you do make it past this week, I know we're looking forward there, then you get Zeke back. And that really is playing to the narrative.
Indeed it is. Brock, you have a rebuttal?
You know, I think my team's going to outscore its projection by quite a bit.
I don't doubt that.
By quite a bit, Pete.
What are you currently sitting at?
Like without a tight end, 118.
Yeah.
So with a tight end, he'll be projected for 126 mm-hmm. or so. Yeah, you know, it's totally sustainable for four of your players to have their absolute best week of the season last week and then to get that again this week. That's definitely going to happen.
Well done, Pete.
I don't see a defense out there that's going to
gentlemen,
put a damper on that.
Gentlemen, save it for the group me. Chewy, what's your takeaway?
Save it for the DMs, yo.
On Pete's team?
Yes, sir.
So, Pete's team, of course, it's the best team in the playoffs right now. You've got the best quarterback in Russell Wilson in fantasy right now. You've got two top 10 running backs in Bell and McCoy. You've got a pretty good wide core here, I think. Brown's obviously a number one wide receiver. Gordon's been putting up wide receiver two-like numbers. D.D. Westbrook has been a little surprising recently, solid in the three spot. Ingram at tight end is obviously a favorable matchup over no tight end. Tyler Lockett.
No wrong.
Tyler Lockett isn't exciting for me, but is a decent flex play. And Lambeau plus Jacksonville in the DST spot, good enough to win for Pete there. Overall, I think Pete's team looks great. He's projected in the 150s right now. I think Pete's team doesn't get out this week under 160.
I would agree to that. Pete, care to further exude confidence, sir?
I have the number one quarterback, number one running back, number one wide receiver, number one defense. It's hard to not be confident. The projection at the projection at 155.5 is obscene. It's too high. It's the highest projected point score of the season.
I don't know if I've ever seen that ever.
Previous high was me. I had a projection of 151.9 earlier in the season against Jared. I ended up scoring 96 in that week. I am not expecting a repeat of the of a terrible high projection. So I do expect to score well. I scored 190 on the bye last week. I don't think I'll get that high. I may not even get it to my projection, but I will have enough to beat Brock.
Five says you come in under the projection.
I just said I may not even just throw projections, so that would be foolish five, for me to put that on it.
Yeah, they're calling you 160.
Are you betting that I'll go over the projection? Because I just said I think I might come under it and still beat you.
I'm telling you to put your money where their mouth is.
I'll keep my money where my mouth is and be in the championship next week.
Jared, who's...
You know what? Five says you don't.
Sure, yeah. I'll put an extra five on me beating you this week. Yeah, no problem.
Gentlemen, this is a sponsored podcast, and any gambling or betting on sports is a crime in this manner, and so we're going to have to ask you to refrain from such behavior. Jared.
That was five man hugs. That's our standard bet.
Oh, forgive me. I made an assumption there that you two have a problem.
You heathen.
Forgive me.
Sidebar.
Jared, what is your over-under on the I'm going to call this the Grudge Bowl.
I'm going to say Pete wins by 16.
Chewy?
I'm going to go Pete by 40.
Whoa, I like it. Brock?
No, Peter first.
Peter?
Age before beauty.
I'm going to agree with Brock that he outscores his projection this week. I might also not reach my projection. So I'm going to say me by 25, but I hope it's 60.
Brock?
I'll take me by 12.
All right, a little tighter on the top end. I'm going to say Peter. I think it will be by 24. I think Pete's going to score 164.
You have me on next week when I win.
Okay, deal.
What? I mean, what's the downside for you talking smack right now? Like, what are we gonna do when you lose? Like, what's the offset?
Hey, you have me on, and I'll eat crow.
Okay,
I'll bend the knee.
All right, just the ring.
I'll bend the knee. All right. Well, it is certainly a contested championship. There is no guarantee who will go in, but as it stands right now, it looks like our prediction into round three would probably lean in a, well, shoot, I don't know. Pete's the call for strength in the lower half of the division, but man, it is a toss up between Chewy and Jared. I don't think I'm confident enough to call it, other than gut. I think I'm going to have to go off of momentum and, I think I'm going to have to go off of the overall stability through the season, and that's Chewy. So we may have a Wookiee, and honestly, I like this. Hang on. I like where I'm going with this. If we have Wookiee of the year, we indeed do have the David and Goliath story if it's both Pete and Chewy in round three championship of the 2017 season. That would just be the best, because here you have the what is essentially the pandering Big Bad Wolf commissioner representing the elite white collar corporate, just the over heartless, win at all costs, money, fame, you know, ego, against the loyal, dedicated, steady, humble, integritous Chewy Clark. What a matchup that is. You talk about narrative. That's biblical. Pete, how would you feel if it wasn't a you and Jared, but instead was a you and Chewy going into the final round of the playoffs?
I told you 2 weeks ago, I love the Patriots, and I have no problem being Belichick. But we also mentioned a couple weeks ago that only once in the last 6-7 years have both the teams with the bye weeks made it to the championship. So history would say that one of Chewy or I is going to lose this week.
That's right. That's what it would. And 7 years is nothing to sneeze at. But if there was any year to set a record, this would be the one. Now, Jared, who would you pick to win? Who would you? Well, no, that's a stupid question. I'll ask this. Let's see here.
You need to just ask me the burning question. What the burning question is about Pete's team?
Okay, I will. Okay, Jared, I got to ask you, can you beat Pete round three?
I don't know. I don't know if I can beat him, and I don't know if I can beat him because somehow Pete continually, year after year, accrues stud players via trades with everyone. Everyone will trade with Pete. And he wins year after year on the back of those trades. And I just don't understand it. I need an explanation, not from Pete. I understand it from Pete's perspective completely, but from the rest of the league, why they allow this to happen just year after year.
Thank Ben.
Yes, that's true.
Hold on. I would quite happily undo that trade with Ben, and I would take Keenan Allen and Davante Adams instead of Antonio Brown and Tyler Lockett in this week. I would win with that too. That's fine. That trade was a very fair trade. The number 3 and number 10 wide receiver on the season for the number 1 wide receiver. That's a good deal.
Yeah, and I'm guilty of giving him LeSean McCoy.
But you gave me LeSean McCoy for Jimmy Graham, who was awesome until he put up a zero last week.
That's right. Yeah, he's had a touchdown nearly every game. One could argue that you knew that he was not going to get a touchdown and play the I didn't do anything card.
I mean, I didn't want anyone with Jacksonville on the schedule in the playoffs.
Like I said. So you can't draft for the playoffs, but you can trade for the playoffs. Is that what you're telling us?
Yeah. Yeah, just absolutely. About week four or five, you know who the good defenses are. That's and right. Avoid.
That's right. That's right. That's why I was pretty excited to pick up my QB when I did. However, all right. Well, let's do this. Let's give a nod to the consolation. Those who are not with us tonight are hopefully still with us in spirit and are competing for the Toilet Bowl. Beater, give us an overview of the bracket happening underneath the surface, and that is the Toilet Bowl.
Yeah, so in week one of the Toilet Bowl bracket, we saw Michael, Ben, and Scott take victories. So kind of a surprise, especially from Scott, after he was the essentially number 12 team all year in a rough year. But he snagged a victory. Brent and Derek took a loss. Andy took a loss as well. However, since Andy was the highest seed of those who did take the loss, he's still in the running for the Toilet Bowl. So Andy and Scott play, and the winner goes on to the Toilet Bowl game, while Michael and Ben play for a chance at the Toilet Bowl as well. While at the same time, Andy, Scott, Derek, and Brent are the only ones still able to be the ultimate loser of the lead if they lose out from here. So while it's not as lucrative, it is still interesting. You can still get a little prize for winning the Toilet Bowl, and you can certainly avoid eternal shame by not getting last place. And as a bit of lead hygiene, we do still need a last place punishment to place additional stakes on that and add a little more fuel to the fire as we get down to the end of the year.
Yeah, and I thought the SAT sitting was the great idea. The difficulty there is the ability to enforce it. It seems like the overall punishment would need to be something that the other 11 team members would have direct ability to enforce. However, I do like that idea quite a bit. Any other ideas been pitched to you, Kamish, on what the 12-man suffering should be?
No, and I think the best last place punishment is ones that you can't enforce them. It has to be an honor code thing where everyone, you know, says, all right, we're men here. We agree. This is the contract we're entering into. This is the punishment. If you get last place, this is what you deserve, and everyone's going to honor that. If it's, you know, something that's mandated and enforced, then I think it loses a little bit of the shame involved in it, where you are voluntarily putting yourself in a position that you don't want to be in because you got last place.
That's right.
And you're holding to the integrity of of fantasy football and the binding agreement that we have made as a lead of gentlemen.
You're describing the spirit of the samurai warrior who is shamed in defeat.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's exactly what it should be.
All right. We just got to come
up with rituals, suicides.
Got to come up with the right sword to plunge into our metaphorical abdomen. All right. Well, Pete, let's do this real quickly. Gentlemen, we're going to go around the horn. I'd like you to call out winner of the Toilet Bowl and prediction on the 12-man. Who's taking dead last this season? We're going to do Toilet Bowl victor first, and we'll come back around the horn and get the last of the last. Sound good?
Deal.
Brock, who you got? Toilet Bowl winner, 2017.
I
got
to take my dad.
I like that.
Losing David Johnson at the beginning of the year sucked.
I like that karma.
He's going to go ahead and
I like
get
that.
Lucky.
I like that. Jared?
I agree completely. Scott's coming on strong. He's coming on real strong, and I think he's going to finish it good. I think I've got to go with Brent or Andy. It depends on Andy's strategy the rest of the way.
Chewy?
I was going to go with Andy, but it looks like he's got all of his lineup on the bench right now. So I don't know what kind of bold move that is. So Andy, unless he pulls something really squirrely.
Pete, can you speak to the rationale of that?
No idea. It's not the same as what I did. So I have no
idea. Doesn't have anything to do with points for, points against?
No, there's nothing to be gained by him benching all those players except for a story. So maybe that's what he's going for. Not what I would do. We'll see what happens by the time Sunday rolls around.
Maybe so. My only logical thought would be that he is taking the Messiah route to last place. Who knows?
That could be.
Who's your call on Toilet Bowl?
I'm going to take Ben, just because he's the luckiest player in the league.
Yeah,
and after he missed the playoffs, something good is going to happen to him. Plus, then that will help him pay me back the wager he lost with me. So,
sounds about right. And you got a little stake in the game. Brock, you're shaking your head. Why is that? Because Ben's never going to pay Pete back no matter what? Is that?
I mean, that's the implication, yeah.
Okay, all right. Fair enough.
Hey, Ben, if you're listening, you know it's true.
Grudges left and right. All right, let's go around the horn again. Who is sailing into 2017 folklore legacy as the loser of the losers, the best loser? Brock?
It looks like Andy's falling on his sword, so...
Well, can Pete even move himself all the way to the 12th hole in 2 weeks?
Yeah. If he loses this week and then loses next week, he will be the official last place team.
All right. Well, maybe so.
It looks like he's going to set the tone and take the SATs to show us how it's done. I believe he mentioned something to that effect.
It's true. Well, maybe he just really wants to take the SATs.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's a story. Jared?
I hope you take them one day, Pete.
Yeah, that's what I meant when I said it depends on the strategy. I spoke out of turn earlier, but I think it'll be Brent if Andy doesn't put anybody in, and then Andy puts people in, and Andy if he doesn't.
Roger. Chewy.
I'm going with Jared on this one. Chris just seems rather sad. Brent just seems rather sad in the group chat these days when he does hop on. It looks like he's cruising towards 12th place.
Hmm. Yeah, that would. Andy would relish in the loss. I'm worried of what Brent might do. Somebody needs to reach out to him. All right. Well, Kamish, do you have any final closing thoughts as we wrap this thrilling episode up?
No, this has been fun. I hope we will get the two championship teams back in here next week to do a shorter discussion, but a preview of the championship week as well. I'm glad that we're able to do the podcast into the playoffs. I'm not sure if we've ever been able to do that before, or at least on a weekly basis in the playoffs. So it's fun to still be here and get to talk about in this forum. I'm looking forward to this weekend of football. Got some couple of Saturday night games and Thursday night games, so it's kind of spread out, but it should be a fun week, and I will be looking forward to watching both matchups very closely with many, many things at stake.
All right, gentlemen, one more time around the horn. Final closing thoughts. You have 10 seconds. Jared.
Good luck this weekend, Chewy. I really do think I'm going to beat you, and I look forward to playing Pete in the championship game next week.
Brock.
You're playing Tyler Lockett based on last week's success, and he's going to drop a goose egg on you. Enjoy.
Chewy.
Win or lose this week, I plan on playing the Jerry Jones role the entire offseason and actively trolling Pete's commissionership in group chat, via email, any outlet that I can.
Peter.
I don't know where the animosity is coming from Chewy.
You didn't do anything.
I didn't do anything.
I like it.
No, it's fine though. It's a good element to add to the league. I think I'd be hard pressed to find better elsewhere. So I'm more than fine with my actions as commissioner and as league owner. And I think it's been a great season for the league. Looking forward to the playoffs, the off season, and getting into draft again next year.
Indeed, that is true, because it's the greatest fantasy football league in the world, and this is its podcast. He's Peter Elwood. That's Jared and Brock and Chewy joining in. I'm Seth Martin. Thanks for tuning in. Good night.